Good morning.
Good morning.
Am I on? Am I?
Thought I'd start out this, whoa, hi. That was exciting. I thought I'd start out this morning just catching you up a little bit from the last time I was up here. We were up here on Father's Day, June 15th, if I remember right. And we were here Sunday morning and talked with you and spoke with the elders that afternoon or evening or something. We toured the town on Saturday afternoon. Sunday evening, I came back and taught the class. I found out that Sunday, I was just incredibly tired, and I thought that it was as a result of a lot of flight delays, which my wife topped a few weeks later with her trip to NCU and big-time flight delays that involved a hotel in Houston, I think. But I thought I was just tired from all the travel. I crashed at Leland and Beth's house that afternoon and crashed very hard at Leland and Beth's house. And I found out Sunday evening we drove over to the beach and spent a couple days on the beach, had one really good day on the beach, and the next day I found out why I was so tired on Sunday. I had a stomach virus that was just beginning, and I spent a horrid day over on the beach in a hotel room, my wife being very kind to me and spending a lot of time on the balcony trying to get away from me, I think, but it was an exciting trip. And then we got back on the plane a day later than we expected after changing lots of flights and things and spending an extra day in the hotel, which my wife enjoyed the sunset and I enjoyed just laying there miserable. We went back, flew to Denver, and from Denver to western Nebraska, we spent driving through storms. And we were right between two tornadic cells, which was very exciting, trying to follow it on the cell phone to see if we could stay between them somehow, and relatives from Nebraska calling and saying, no, stop, stay where you are for 20 minutes, and it was just a lot of excitement. And so we thought after that, was God trying to tell us something between illness and storms and everything else? While we were waiting there on the beach, and I was spending time being miserable, and my wife was enjoying life, she kept looking for a whale out in the ocean. And she said, God, if you show us a whale, we will know. Much like Jonah, we'll know that we're supposed to be here. No whale came. And so between the no whale and the storms and the sickness, we thought, surely this is just not going to come together. And then God turned everything on its ear for a while in our lives. And we got a call from Mike later that week asking us if we'd like to come be a part of the work here in Eugene. And we did a lot of thinking and a lot of praying and a lot of calling back and forth and texting and all that stuff. And soon realized that we really feel like this is where God wants us to be. And we really feel like, and having talked with the eldership here, we really feel like there's a lot of potential here at the church in Eugene for this community and for the church as a whole. And we are thankful to be here with you. We're thankful for the way we've been welcomed so far. First of all, for Larry's graciousness in preaching last week, which I had no idea how thankful I would be for until I'm glad to be here with you this morning. I'm glad anytime we can worship God. I'm extra glad this morning not to be surrounded by cardboard boxes for a couple hours. It's been a hectic time of unpacking and putting together furniture and all that stuff. And we really enjoyed Larry's thoughts last week. And the fact that he has been a consistent presence up here for the last year, I think, has been very helpful for us coming in as new folks. And so we're really, really glad to be with you. We're glad for all the stuff you welcomed us with last week. We have a giant basket full of things back in our house or in our apartment that has been very good for us. Lots of fresh vegetables from Bernice's garden. Someone was kind enough to put a Starbucks card in there, I think, so they know me well. There was even some money in there, which we were very thankful for. Plastic cups, which were great, because we realized midway along the way that we had not brought our glasses with us. And so we're glasses shopping too, but the plastic Oregon cups with the big O on the front of them have been very helpful for us this week. I debated a lot over the last couple months about where to start out with you. I think the reading program you've been doing over the last year or so has been a great thing. And I know Larry's been very enthusiastic telling me about it. It seems like a lot of you have been involved in that, and I'm glad to hear it. I was a little sad to find out that John was where you started, not for you, because that's a great place to start, but for me, because I thought about starting there myself. And I don't want to cover a lot of ground you've already covered, but I have worked with a great minister for the last 9.5 years or so, and I asked him once, When I go start out somewhere and preach, where do you start? What's the thing that you start with? And he said to me, you can't go wrong with Jesus. And that has been in the back of my head since the day that he said it. And so I thought we would spend a lot of time together here in the fall, especially talking about the life of Christ. Now, that same minister did a series on Jesus there at Westside, where I came from, that lasted 132 lessons. Now, I am not anticipating that. He was very, very detailed. But we will spend some time talking about Jesus. And I thought we'd start this morning with just a little thought of where he came from. You might recognize some of these names from Matthew 1 or from Luke 1 in the genealogy that brought us to the point of Jesus. I am struck by that as I look at all those names, because some of them are ones that are familiar to us, and some of them are ones that you're glad I didn't ask you to read this when we got up here, because you could never pronounce those names. Some of them are very significant people in Scripture. Some of them played a very small role. Some of them we would find, if we were to take our readings into the Old Testament, that they played a more significant role than we realize, and we've just forgotten or not realized that along the way. But the thing that is consistent with all of them is that there is a plan. If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. From the very beginning, there was a plan that God had set in place. God is a God that does not do things randomly. There are a lot of folks that subscribe to something God does in Genesis, which is he takes something that seems like chaos and he brings order to it. And even the job he gives man there early on, take these things and name them, which is interesting. To think of Adam sitting there and each of these critters comes along and he's got to give a name to each thing. Where he comes up with those names, I have no idea. But he names these things and he gives them reason. He gives them something that they are there for. God is a God of plans. Now, after we came here back in June and we made the decision along the way that we were going to come here and stay, my wife began doing what my wife does, which is making lists. And she had a notebook, and she opened it to the first page of that notebook and started making a list. And list number one was everything that had to happen in our house to make it ready to sell, which was a very, very long, arduous list. And as I looked at that list and thought of the time that we had set ahead of us when we might get here, I thought, there's no way in the world all of those things are going to happen. There's no way in the world we can get all that stuff done. Now, some of us are list people. Some of us are not. Some of us are married to list people, and we understand what that's like. We're all a little bit different in how we approach things. God is not a God of chaos. God is not a God where things just randomly fall together. God is a God with a plan, and he has a plan from day one. Now, as things started happening for us in the meantime, we sold our house. And we hope to close on that next week, if all goes well, maybe the week after. We never put our house on the market, which still, to this day, absolutely blows my mind. We mentioned on Facebook, the grand technology of today, that we were going to be moving to Oregon to start this new work. And the next day, I get a message from somebody who's a Facebook friend that says, I got something I need to talk to you about. And so I went, got in contact with him, and he lives across the street, two doors down. His parents want to move to our town, and they're interested in looking at our house. And we thought, that's interesting, sure. Now, at the same time, we thought, we're about maybe five items into this giant list my wife has made, and rooms are halfway painted, and things need to be repaired, and all these things. And so they come over, and they see a house in disarray. There literally are rooms that are halfway painted. We had had a new front door installed that morning, And so everything was just kind of chaotic around the house. This gentleman walks through the house with me, looking around. He's an older guy, and he looks and he notices everything that is wrong with our house. There's nothing that gets by him. And there's those, you know, we all have those things in our houses that we hope no one notices are there. And he'll point at something and he'll say, what's the problem with that spot over there? And I'll explain it to him. And after 25 minutes of this, he sits down on my couch and I think to myself, there's no way on earth this guy is interested in our house. And he says to me, I would like to buy your house for this amount. That amount was slightly lower than what I had in mind, but pretty close. And I said, you know, if we don't have to negotiate with anybody, if we don't have to hire a realtor, no offense, realtors, we'll do it. Let's do this. We calculated later, if we'd had to hire a realtor, he would have been within $500 of our asking price. Never put our house on the market. Now, our 2 months between our visit here and our time getting here has been a series of that. And it's been a series of that in the lives of people where things never go easily normally. Our motto in the Lewis family is, if it was easy, it would not be the Lewis family. Everything is usually complicated. And instead, in between, there's been this 2 months of just almost smooth sailing. It's hard to explain it sometimes. And I keep looking at it, and I keep thinking about God. I keep thinking about God in these first few verses of 1 John, about how God is a God who has something in mind from day one. I truly believe God has a mind for us to be here. I truly believe God has a mind for you to be here this morning. If you pick today to visit for the first time, you're about 2 visits behind me. God has brought you here this morning for a reason. And so we see here that God, from the beginning, has this plan. And we see here that also from the beginning, Jesus was here. Jesus was here as things are created. Jesus was here seeing all of history unfold. Jesus is the center of everything. And if he's not the center of our lives yet, I hope that he will be soon. We also see, beginning in verse 4, that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. Now, if you were following along with your 1 John readings, all this language should sound kind of familiar to you, because in 1 John, John writes a lot about light and darkness and about how vastly different things are. Now, I have learned very quickly living in Eugene that Eugene is vastly different than Searcy, Arkansas. I know this will come as a shock to you if you've not been to Searcy, Arkansas. In Searcy, something like 80% of our community goes to church somewhere on Sunday, or at least says they do. Eugene is not quite like that. In Searcy, if I walk into Walmart, and I've been into Walmart way too many times already, and I forget my bags every time because we don't do that in Searcy, but when I walk into Walmart, I have yet to see anyone that I know. Now, if I saw you in Walmart and I've forgotten about it, sorry. But I don't think I've seen anyone I know. When I walk into Walmart in Searcy, I see all these people I know, and most of them are from either the church I attend or another church around town that I know of. I run into other ministers in town. I see all these other Christians around. And Searcy is kind of a weird place in that there's almost this expectation that you're going to do the things that we do. Here, when we read about light and darkness, it's a lot more clear to us. It's a lot more clear that if we are acting as the light of the world, that is something that will show up here in town. We are called to be something not just here in this room, but as we leave here today. We are called to be this light. And Jesus is the example of that. He is the light that shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And isn't it interesting that as if we are light, and Jesus says in Matthew 5 that we're a city on a hill. We're a light that can't be hidden. He uses the same language about us. John in 1 John talks about that if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son, Jesus, cleanses us from our sins. We are to be this light. And if we are to be light, as he's the light, and the darkness doesn't understand him, there will be times where the darkness does not understand us either. There will be times when people in our community do not understand who we are, why we do what we do, and might think we're a little crazy to be here this morning where they're still in bed. We're still doing whatever they might be doing right now. But this light shines in darkness. There came a man, verse 6, who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. John came to prepare the way. And in a lot of ways, that's part of our job too, to prepare the way. Are we out there being ambassadors of Christ in our world? I was struck, if you weren't in class this morning, Larry was talking about 3 John. And he talked about Diotrephes and Demetrius, who were very different guys that John was writing about in 3 John. Diotrephes was a guy who liked to be first, is the way John described him. He liked to be important. He liked to be noticed. Demetrius struck John as more of a servant type. And it was interesting to me, a couple things. I sit there thinking as a minister in class, should I say anything as I sit here? Because I don't want to be seen as, and I wouldn't be correcting, but I wouldn't want to come across that way. And I was thinking about John writing about these two guys and how the way John writes is so different than what a lot of us might do. Some of us would see Diotrephes and be annoyed by him, and we would gladly point that out. And we would say, there's something wrong with Diotrephes. Now, we probably wouldn't say it to Diotrephes. We would say it around Diotrephes. But we would be frustrated by him. Now, others of us who don't like confrontation would probably say something like, oh, that Diotrephes, that's just how he is. And we'd go on with life. And then Demetrius would just continue doing what it is Demetrius does, because Demetrius is the guy who likes to serve. And we may notice it, but then we don't say anything. And it was interesting to me that John took this letter, and it was part, I'm going to correct Diotrephes, or at least correct him to people who are going to listen. In part, I'm going to encourage Demetrius or mention that he's doing the right thing. And then there's another part of it that's almost passive-aggressive as he talks all about what Diotrephes did and then said, don't imitate evil, which is interesting. The light that John is trying to be is so very different than what a lot of us might do. And John the Baptist that John is writing about here is going to be one who prepares the way. He's going to be one that gets out there and says, this is Jesus that you need to look at. This is the one that we follow, and this is why. And that's a big part of our reading together, is how can we really share that news if we ourselves don't have a good handle on it. So this true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world, verse 10, was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Why then? You ever read through Scripture, especially when it comes to the time when Jesus comes, and thought to yourself, why then? Wouldn't if Jesus came today, 2014, and if he showed up in America, wouldn't it have been easier? We've got the internet now. He could get his word out. We've got television. We've got all these different kinds of technology that he could come and do what he was going to do. Why back at this point in time? Why in the Middle East? Why did he come along when he did? And in Romans 5, if you want to flip over there for just a second, we have a little bit of the answer to that, and it's not as satisfying as we might want it to be. Beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, by entering through faith into what God... I'm sorry, got two versions here, and I picked the wrong one. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace by in which we now stand. And we now rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, we were still powerless. Christ died for the ungodly. At just the right time. I don't know about you, but I have trouble with at just the right time most of the time, because God's timing is not mine. I actually decided about a year ago that I wanted to go somewhere and preach, and I was ready at that point. And I probably should have talked to you guys way before I did, but I really feel like this is all at just the right time. Now, why now? I don't know. And I don't know about you, but there are times where the I don't know is not good enough for me, and I want something more concrete, and I want more answers, And then I've got to remember God's timing. Jesus sat and watched all of history unfolding to this point. He saw the things that happened in the garden. He knew what was going to happen there and had watched it happen. He saw Cain kill Abel. He saw Jacob do what Jacob did. He saw Abraham do what Abraham did. He watched David sin and then get back to where God wanted him to be. He watched all these things of the Old Testament. He watched his entire nation be taken into exile and then brought back. And again and again and again, but it was not the right time until he came. And do you not think that a God that had that kind of timing for his own son to show up does not have that kind of timing for you and I? Are there not things in our own lives that just frustrate us or confuse us that God knows just the right time for you and I? It is just the right time for us to be here this morning. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Jesus showing up here demands a reaction of one kind or another, and you see the basic two options right here. One is people who did not receive him. And this is nothing that has changed in our world today. There are a lot of people in our world that do not receive him or that do not receive at least parts of what he has to say. It's funny to me. The world knows do not judge pretty well. They're in Matthew 7, really heavy. They know that we're supposed to love, and they gladly will call us on it when we don't. But aside from that, our world does not jump on a whole lot of Jesus' teachings. Our world does not have the same value system that Jesus has. And then there's us. And what do we do with that? What is our reaction to Jesus? Is our reaction a reaction that brings us here Sunday morning? If you weren't here last week, Larry spent a lot of time guilting you into being here Sunday night and Wednesday night, which I appreciated. Is our reaction something that brings us here at this time? And honestly, even more so, and I think our leadership here would say the same thing, more than Sunday night or Wednesday night, what about Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and things that are not going on here? What are we doing in the course of our daily lives that shows our reaction to Jesus is one of we accept him and we accept him completely? And if we do, then we learn that we are his children. We are children of God, that we take on this inheritance that we completely do not deserve. In verse 14, John wraps up this section with this: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Thought about how amazing that entire concept is. I know this is the basis of what we do, and the fact that he came here and died and was raised again is what brings us together this morning. But have you ever just stopped and thought about God becoming flesh and coming here to live among us? God becoming flesh and knowing how it would turn out. The God who experiences chapter 1 knows the things that are going to happen in the later chapters of John 2, and still he comes here for you and for me so that we can be with him. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John is an eyewitness to this as he writes all this stuff down. We have seen his glory. Well, if you had seen this all happen, how could you not just tell the story again and again and again? John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. No one has ever seen God, but we have. We have seen him through Jesus. We have seen who he is, we have seen what is important to him, we have seen what he cares about, we have seen who he loves, and we have seen how he interacts with other people. And the reason we're going to spend a lot of time over the next few months talking about the life of Jesus is there is nothing better for us to emulate. there is no one better for us to try to be like than Jesus. And this morning, that's our challenge. Some of us are good at it at times, and some of us let it slip at times. Some of us react well when we're thinking about it, and some of us don't. And we see Jesus. We see the patience Jesus has with people. We see the love Jesus has for people. We see his compassion for people. And we realize that is the same love and compassion and patience that we are called to have with people each day. This morning, if we need to get our lives more in line with Jesus, to be more like him, this is an opportunity to do that. If there's something you need to confess in your own life, something you'd like to get it better about, if there's something you need us to pray about, or if you want to take Jesus on in baptism and follow him for the first time, whatever need you may have, please come as we stand and sing.